My main text is verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'll ask if you read that verse together for me now.
And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both at Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
This is the great, grand, glorious commission and command of the Savior. As I mentioned last Sunday, five times in 40 days, he gave this commandment, then went back to heaven. Really, the sum and substance and emphasis of Jesus before he went. Quite likely, the basis for his question and analysis when he comes back. I told you, what did you do with it? Five times, five different locations or settings, he gave the command in Matthew. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore in the light that I have the power. Go, teach all nations. All nations were not happy about being taught. All nations were not open doors. But all nations were to be reached. And with God, there are no closed doors. It's only difficult. Some places easy, some difficult. Difficult means a challenge and greater victory. Easy means, well, it's just easy, that's all. See, amazing how many people are looking for easy work, easy opportunities, easy efforts. They have names for such people. And it seems that there's a lot of emphasis on the easy today. They were to teach them. They were to baptize the converts. And then they were to instruct the converts in each and every command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And quite possibly the wider expanse, all of Scripture. Then in Mark, they were told, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All nations, all the world, every creature. And it's the gospel we're taking, not a political message. Not a theological viewpoint, though that may come up sooner or later. But we're to preach the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And he was buried. And he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 defines the gospel. That's the basic message, and all other points are to be found in relationship to that. But we need to keep our focus right. Then in Luke, when God opened their eyes to understand the Scriptures, and in the light of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, they were to preach repentance and remission of sins in his name among all nations. Again, that emphasis, repentance, turning from that which is wrong, sin, the world, their values and system, and from Satan and his demonic effects and feelings and control. They were to repent and find in Jesus that sin not only was paid for, but the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all iniquity. There is a cleansing. There is a removal of sin. We then looked in the Gospel of John, and Jesus told them, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. God the Father did not send Jesus on easy street down here. It was tough. It was hard. It was real. And it was helpful. Easy Street doesn't help much of anybody. He left heaven, the highest position available, right hand of the Father on a throne, worshiped by angelic beings, and he came down here to be rejected and despised of men. They had their own value system and their own goals in life. And eventually they beat him, spit on him, lied about him, crucified him, which allowed him to shed his blood and pay for their sins, yours and mine. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. If they treated the master that way, what do you think they want to do to the servants? You say, well, it's too hard. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't think it was too hard? When he wanted to walk in his steps. When he wanted to say, well, the harder it is, the tougher the battle, the greater the victory. And on we go. Those are the four in the Gospels. After that, in John, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. There's a need for the working of the Holy Spirit. We come here to the fifth command, for here in just a few verses, Jesus is going to ascend back into heaven. And a cloud took him away. And one day he's coming back in a cloud. And those that are saved be caught up together with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Those that are not prepared will be left behind, like the five virgins without oil at the coming of the time for the wedding. The bridegroom shows up. When he shows up, it'll be in a moment. You better get ready. It could be any time. But I want you to look at our text a little closer here in Acts. Will you read for me verse number 6 now?
When they therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time destroy again the kingdom of Israel?
4 times he's told them, get ready. Need to go. Need to reach every nation, every creature, every place, all the world. They say, oh, we'd like to discuss some prophetic viewpoints with you. Are you ready to set up the millennial kingdom at this time? They wouldn't have used the word millennial, but that's what the Bible would tell us, 1,000 years. Are you ready to establish that which our forefathers have looked forward to? Is the timing right for you to do this? It's amazing when they had a task at hand, they'd rather discuss unknown events. Well, let's see what the Savior has for an answer. Verse number 7. Would you read that for me now? He said, let's discuss prophecy instead of doing the job. And he said, that's none of your business on the details. We'll take care of this. The Father will send me. And it'll work out. But don't you get to spending all your time in speculative prophecy. Now, I'll pause just for a moment. I do believe in the premillennial, pre-tribulational rapture of the church. My father believed it. My children believed it. My grandfather believed it. My great-grandfather believed it. And he died in the early 1900s. They didn't expect to die. They expected to go in the rapture. I've expected to go in the rapture. I've not yet prepaid my funeral expenses. I'm not opposed to those of you that have, but I've just questioned, should I put the money in somebody's hand and then never get the services because I'll be gone. Now, I may get close enough, I'll feel it's wise. And for some of you, you're there. That's fine. 40-some years ago, when I came to Hagerstown, I guess it'd be 48 years, they asked what I wanted put in my retirement fund. I was 28. Told them I didn't anticipate retiring. I anticipated the rapture. They were happy to hear that. Looking back, I think it was because it saved them money. But I've preached past retirement age. I've ministered well past retirement age after many physical difficulties. Still been able to go on. And if the trump blew tonight, wouldn't surprise me. But if it doesn't blow until my grandchildren are old, that's up to the God of heaven. Those times and seasons are in his hands. And somehow there are things yet to be done. By the middle of the tribulation, where America will cease to be a world power. And it could happen long before. The church has not been judged much in this country, and judgment begins at the house of God. In the light of that, we may have to go through a bath of persecution so that God will have treated us like he has allowed other nations to suffer and then send his son to come back and take over. I don't know. But I'm not going to fret and fuss on how many hairs there are in the tail of the red horse or what the colors might be. There are some people just about that certain and specific on the unknown matters. And I have books at home telling of foolishness of good men that got into too much speculation. Kaiser Wilhelm was going to be the Antichrist. Now, those of you who studied history, you'll know what I'm saying. The rest of you, I'll just tell you, that was a century ago or more. Hitler was going to be the Antichrist. Bill Clinton was going to be the Antichrist. And then there are the more recent books. God knows these matters. But we're worrying so much what's none of our business that we're not doing the right job on what is our business. And after he's rebuked him and corrected him, verse 8, he says, fellas, don't worry about that. Here's what you're to think about. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. Oh, but Master, we'd much rather discuss details of prophecy and sit in the comfort zone of Jerusalem. He said the uttermost parts of the earth. Find those neglected areas. Find those difficult areas. So that's where you want to end up. But start here and then expand and go beyond, as the Apostle Paul said, to the regions beyond. That's where his heartbeat was. Now, the beginning of the text of what is our business, the church's business, every Christian's business, is ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It is my opinion, in the light of John chapter 20, that they'd already received the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You say, was that prophetic? Well, you want to make it prophetic into 2022? Most of the motives for pushing it down the road are to escape the reality that our salvation is certain because of the sealing of the Holy Spirit who's within us. But Acts 1:8's not talking about the Holy Spirit within you. It's ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is what? Hopefully you know the difference between coming on you and putting in you. My wife had a medicine given for an infection, and it expressed several times in the instructions not to be put in the mouth or within the body. This is only for on the body. There is a distinction between the work of the Holy Spirit within us and the work of the Holy Spirit upon us. Hopefully you know the difference. But for reference sake, let's back up before they got under prophecy. What was Jesus talking about with them? Verses 4 and 5. Would you read that for me now?
And he assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with blood, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Baptism and drinking are two different things. One's exterior and one's interior. Not only are we indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but we're also to be baptized, anointed, unctionized by the Holy Spirit, exterior works of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, do you know Jesus? Do you know the Holy Spirit and his inner workings? Have you ever experienced his filling, his anointing, his baptizing, where he moves in power upon you to be able to have power for you to minister? We're not in an intellectual argument with the heathen. We're not battling the vain philosophies of this world. We're presenting the unseen Jesus by the work of the Holy Spirit to be seen and known by those that will repent and believe. We're in it to see people changed. We're in it with God's power to accomplish what otherwise seems impossible. God's provided all we need. Breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Then he said, now you tarry at Jerusalem till the promise comes. There is something on the exterior you have on the interior. You need that power, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You might be saved, but not operating with much power. Oh, brother, sister, have you sought the great, mighty anointing and powering of the Holy Spirit that you might be able to do a job which humanly seems impossible? Some of you have sought the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to give more than is humanly possible. Let me just quickly illustrate. If you come and you're in need financially, I have a clip here with, I call it tip money. I try to keep enough around for needs. And if somebody came and appealed to me there in a spot, I could peel off a dollar bill from the top. There. That meet your need? I can do that. Wasn't always able to, but I can. If the need seems deep and sincere, I might flip to the bottom, say, huh, here's a $5 bill. Will that meet your need? You see, my need's bigger. Well, that's all I have. Can't give what you don't have. That's what the world believes. And usually it's worldlings that are begging. But I have a Father, not the human one, but a heavenly one. And he has resources without limit. If I can lay hold on him and say, Father, I need $1,000. Do you think it'll break the bank of heaven if he sends it? No. I need 10,000. You think that'll break the bank of heaven? Some of you are not sure. Well, according to your faith, be it unto you. That's what Jesus said. We have the capability financially to see work done. We have the capability to send out empowered laborers where they can work in mighty power. Not their power, oh no, no. A power far greater than human power. Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. And that's in the context of there being false spirits and the Holy Spirit. We can take victory and control over demonic forces. Not through exorcism, but because the Holy Spirit's greater than all of them put together. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. I won't take time. That's not only witnesses to others, but it's witnessing to Jesus that we are doing what he told us, and we are living as he wants us, and we're going where he wants us, and we're doing his will. We're witnesses unto him, not only because of what he's done, but our eye is more on him than it is on anything else. A rich man went to go see a factory he owned part of. When he got to the gate, the man at the gate asked for his credentials. He said, I don't have them, but I own part of the company. He said, I can't let you in. He said, you've got to let me in. You may lose your job. We'll blackball you. He said, I can't let you in. He said, why? He said, up there's a window, and in the office is the chief owner, and he told me nobody was to come in unless they were on the list for the day. We keep an eye to the Savior, not to the approval or disapproval of the world. We find God's way. We pray until it opens. And then we can go not only in our Jerusalem where we live, but in the outer regions around Judea. Then we can go to those that are of a mixed race and mixed language and messed up religion. They are different than we are culturally. The Samaritans that look down on us. So then we look down on them. That's how it was. But he says, it's going to have to be a change of heart, man. You're going to go to them. And then the whole world that hates the Jewish people, you as Jewish people are going to go out and reach them. And the Bible records they did in the first generation. They accomplished the mission. Why? Because they put first things first. The command of Jesus to get the job done. Those of you that are lost, we'd like you to be evangelized and come to the Savior and learn of the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. He will change you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new. He will assist you. He'll help you to grow. You'll become what he wants you to be so you can serve him as he desires. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's your potential future. But to those of you that are saved, how are we doing in the light of the potential? and the command of the Lord Jesus. That's the message I have for you tonight. There's more in the passage, but I think that'll cover what God's laid on my heart. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to keep first things first and to take the needed steps to get your word out. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Mark, you want to give us something to close with?
368, if you would, in your handbooks, 368. I've done my best for Jesus. We'll sing first and last. Verses 368. Go ahead and stand. Thank you.